Hello, everybody. So I am back because, well, I did some research and I have nothing better to do on a Saturday night. So today I'm going to talk about the Elizabeth Short murder. As many of you know, that has been one of the most infamous unsolved murders probably in American history. So I'm just going to dive right into it. Elizabeth Short was born July 29th, 1924 in Hyde Park, Massachusetts. Her father was making a living and actually designing and building miniature golf courses. But when the Depression hit, he eventually abandoned his wife and his daughters. He actually proceeded to fake his own suicide, leaving his car near a bridge and basically kind of leading everybody to believe that he had jumped into the river below. Years later, he actually received a letter one of the daughters, or the mom, I'm sorry, Phoebe, had received a letter from him saying, you know, basically that he had moved to California and he apologized, you know, to, you know, for basically abandoning the family. But the mom just flat out refused to accept his apology and refused to basically ever see him again. So Elizabeth grew up with kind of like a really strange childhood. I mean, imagine your dad, you know, you think that he committed suicide and then years later, he's found that he had lived this whole other life and he had just abandoned you. She eventually did forgive him though, Elizabeth. She actually had moved out to California to stay on Mare Island with him. He was actually working out there. Everybody described Elizabeth as very friendly, very outgoing, a little bit shy. She was very funny once you got to know her, everybody had said. She dreamed of being a movie star, and that's all she ever wanted to do. Sorry, my cat decides to interrupt. So being out in Vallejo, she had applied as a cashier at the post exchange. Many of the servicemen had noticed her. She actually had won the title of Camp Cutie. Memphis, can you just leave me alone? Sorry. However, Elizabeth was very, very naive and very vulnerable. She had actually met a pilot named Lieutenant Gordon Flicking. And they had fallen in love, and, you know, they were basically planning on being married until, you know, he was shipped out to Europe. Elizabeth took, you know, modeling jobs here and there, and eventually she went back to living in Medford, and she basically was just consumed with waiting for Gordon to come back. However, he was killed in action, and she began mourning, and actually that's when she decided to come to Hollywood to try to make her dreams come true of being a movie star. So we'll go into that. I just wanted to give you a little background into, you know, that part of her life. So during her final days, Elizabeth had done housework for various families, but she continued to party and hold on for a second. Sorry. Hey, you guys need to leave her alone. Sorry, my cats are just being unruly as always. And there. Sorry about that, guys. So she had been doing housework. She actually eventually met a salesman from Los Angeles named Robert Red Manley. He was actually had a pregnant wife at home. Manley admits that he was attracted to Elizabeth, but he claims that he never slept with her. They had just become friends. So eventually, Manly had, excuse me, driven her back to Hollywood because she was spending some time down in Santa Barbara. When the two returned to Hollywood, he paid for a hotel room and they went to a party. When they returned, he claims that Elizabeth slept in the chair. So the next morning, and that would be January 9th, keep that date in mind, Manly had an appointment, returned to the hotel to pick up Elizabeth about noon. She told him that she was going to return to Massachusetts, but she first wanted to meet up with her sister at the Biltmore Hotel in Hollywood. He had drove her there, but he decided not to stick around because he had an appointment at 6:30 and did not wait for Elizabeth's sister to arrive to basically make sure, you know, everything was okay. From what Robert had said, he had last seen Elizabeth. She was making phone calls in the hotel lobby. And basically, he and the hotel employees were the last people to see Elizabeth Short alive. So she went missing on January 9th, missing for 6 days, and her body was eventually discovered on the morning of January 15th. What I've always wondered is what happened during those 6 days. These cats are driving me insane. Did someone hold her hostage for 6 days? Did she just voluntarily, you know, go with someone, maybe a friend, maybe seeking a new opportunity? And, you know, there's just so many possibilities that could have happened to her during those 6 days. Me personally, what I think what happened to her was because she was known as many girls during this time, they dated for dinner. Pretty much. They went on dates basically just to eat. You know, this was a very hard time. It was, people were coming back from war and whatnot. So it wasn't uncommon for girls to do that. So I personally believe that during those 6 days of her missing, she eventually ran into the person that did kill her, maybe as a date. You know, a way of dating for her dinner, and just met the wrong person. So fast forward back to the morning that she was discovered. It was a housewife that had actually left her home and was taking her daughter out for just a little walk. They had walked up the street. And as they were approaching the corner of Norton and 39th, there were many, many vacant lots around that time. And when they were walking on the sidewalk, Betty, which was the housewife's name, she had noticed something white among the weeds. At first, she's not thinking too much of it. She initially thought it was a store mannequin that someone had thrown away. But then she had noticed that this mannequin that she thought had been separated into two halves. So Betty continued to walk forward. But then something just kept nagging at her, I guess. And she decided to walk towards what she thought was the mannequin. I guess, you know, curiosity got the best of her. Upon that inspection, she realized the mannequin was not a mannequin, and it was actually, unfortunately, Elizabeth Short, who had been severed in half. Obviously, Betty screamed, panicked, and ran to a nearby house to call the police. Now, that is an interesting thing when you think about how she was discovered and what this person did to her. There were so many cuts and abrasions across her body. Obviously, everybody knows the slit that extended from, you know, her ear to ear, so created that devilish smile. And then the way that the body was actually displayed, her legs were spread, which is just very odd. And it also kind of leads you to believe that maybe either this person was trying to make him, I guess, feel like, you know, this girl is a dirty girl. She's nasty. She's, you know, no good. And almost trying to humiliate her, even in death. Upon inspection, investigators obviously discovered that she had been tied down. There were still rope marks on her wrists and ankles. So they had noticed that someone clearly had her captive for at least a few days. But the odd thing was that even though she was sliced in half, there was no blood present. So obviously she wasn't killed at the scene. And I've always wondered how this person, if you actually read, it's called Severed, a book that was written about the Elizabeth Short murder. There's a theory how she was severed in half. I mean, obviously, this person that did this knew, at least had to have known some type of medical. Either he was a medical, you know, a surgeon, or he must have been a butcher or someone that worked in that field, because the way the body was sliced, it was just too perfect for obviously somebody out of nowhere, you know, just an average Joe, just be like, hey, let me cut this body in half. The blood was completely drained out of her. And that's another thing that you got to think about. You know, it takes a lot of effort, and as gruesome, as horrible as this sounds, it does take a lot of effort to do something like that. The way that her body was just drained completely of blood, the body was cut in half at a certain angle. And in order to make that cut that was made, experts and the investigators believed it had to be somebody that had at least some sort of medical knowledge, if not a surgeon, you know, themselves. Because the way the body was, it was cut just right above the belly button. And then the rest of her, it's just, I mean, I've seen the pictures, and it's you have to have a strong stomach to really look at those pictures. And I've seen a lot of those pictures, and it is very disturbing and just it's quite sad what happened to her. But also in that, in that book Severed that I read, it kind of dives more into detail about who she was, because everybody just focuses on how she was, you know, how she died, and which is obviously very sad, but you kind of lose the person when you just think about how they died, how they were discovered, and how it's become like a cultural, you know, almost staple of cultural, I don't know what the word is, but it's just, it's imprinted in your brain. I mean, I don't know anyone that has not either heard of the Black Dahlia case, or at least if you don't know that's what it's called, you show a picture or show something and someone's like, oh yes, I, you know, I've heard about it or I've seen it or blah, blah, blah. It's very sad, but reading that book, it goes into detail of how she was as a person. And she was a very, very kind of lost soul. She wanted so badly to be accepted and to be famous, but she also had a vulnerability about her. Not everybody may know this, but once they did the autopsy, it was discovered that physically, Elizabeth could not have regular sex. There was something that was deformed in her ovaries and vaginal area where it would not be physically, it would be physically almost impossible for her to have normal sex, quote unquote, is what they say. And obviously she never could carry a baby. And that's actually what, when you read the book too, a lot of guys that did go on dates with her said that they never did anything with her. The most maybe they did was, you know, kiss her on the cheek, but she would always push those people away if they did try, because I think that was one of the things that she may have been very insecure about, especially during that time period. You know, it's the early to late 40s. It's not something, you know, sex was not something that you rarely talked about. And especially for someone like her that had, you know, almost a deformity, like, how do you bring that up? You know, people were look down upon. So, besides all of that, they also went into detail about how there was a theory, because one of the girls that she was staying with was also killed, not in the same fashion, not as brutally, but was basically beaten so badly in the face and just beaten down. And some of it was very, very similar to how Elizabeth's injuries, not obviously the cutting in the face, but the actual bones and the bruises and everything. It was very, very similar to her friend that she had once lived with. So people were looking at the boyfriend and these two cases for a minute, very, very closely. I personally don't think they were related. I think she just ultimately ran into someone that decided, and I think this person had decided a long time ago that he wanted to do something horrible, and was just waiting for the right time. There was also a theory, I know, that possibly she was connected to the Cleveland torso murders, because I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but it was in Elliot Ness. You know, he had, when the torso slayings were going on in Cleveland, he was, you know, the top guy there. And that was the one case that he could never solve. But the torso killings actually do have a lot of similarities to how Elizabeth Short was killed, because a lot of the victims and the torso slayings, you know, were cut, and the cuts were very, very clean. They were, I mean, basically they called the torso slayings for a reason, where you just either found the torso, an arm, maybe a leg, a head, but you never found any other parts of the body. So it's a very interesting theory. I've kind of looked into it, and it is, I mean, there is a possibility that I think that maybe, but I also think, because serial killers rarely move out of the area. I mean, I get maybe he got scared because the, you know, press was getting on him in Cleveland or whatever, and there is a possibility that he could have moved to California, but if it was the same person, why this one killing? Why only this one? In California. I mean, people like that don't stop doing that type of stuff. So, I don't know. Very interesting, but I just wanted to share that. Go check out that book, Severed. I can't remember who the author is. I know I'm horrible. I should have this. I think it's James something. I'm horrible. My bad. It's a very, very good read. Very interesting. It's a very good read. And you know what? I just wanted to just point out, you know what? Just because she passed away in this manner should not be the only reason why you remember this lady. You know, she was a daughter. She was someone's best friend. She was a sister. She's actually buried in Oakland. And one of these days I'm going to go up to the cemetery and see it. And pay my respects, because she deserves to have at least be remembered, not by how she died, but by who she was when she lived. So it gives you something to think about.